It's the news I have been promising, and I can finally share it with you. And it almost feels so odd to be sharing this news during this time of the world, but it's like such an incredible time to be the you that you want to be. And so I am stoked to finally tell you guys that I have empowered a motivational journal for women coming out June. And guys, let me tell you, it is full of thought-provoking prompts that encourage and empower you to dig deep and cultivate positive change. It's motivational. It's got tons of inspirational quotes and plenty of pages to write and a gorgeous design with illustrations. And I am so proud of it. It totally puts into practice everything that I did to see the dream of being traditionally published with an international book to fruition. And I know that so many of these prompts have had wild success with my clients, and I'm so excited to finally share this with you. And you can pre-order it today. Ah, I can't believe it's like really happening. And I put the link in the show notes. Check it out. I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Last year, I had Quinn from at Everchanging Horizon on the podcast, and it was such a great episode. He really talked about leaving comfortability to dive into something that you really want to do in your life. And since then, he has actually been traveling the world in a van, and it's super duper awesome. And I thought, what a great time to have Quinn back on when things are so uncomfortable, and just shed a little bit of insight and hope towards the future life that you can create. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. There is no better excuse. There is no better time than now to be the you that you want to be. Check it out.
So it is pretty cool to have you back on. I feel like the world is totally different since you were last on.
Yeah, totally. What was it, about a year ago now?
Maybe I think it was last July. So yeah, we're creeping up onto a year.
Oh, onto a year. Gotcha. Yeah, wow. It seems like a while ago now that everything's happened and changed. So
how have you been doing just in general in the course? I mean, like kind of skirting over the whole pandemic part, how have you been doing with life?
I don't know. I don't think I'm very representative of the general population, but honestly, it's been really, really good for me. I think I've been doing this for about 5 years, and I've always wanted a break, but I've never been able to give myself a break until I was kind of forced, or at least placed in a similar situation where everyone had to take a break. Then I felt like it was justified, and I've been able to sleep in a little bit more and just, I guess, kind of reevaluate everything that's happened and how grateful I am to be where I am. So
It's like permission, right? Yeah, I've really been feeling that too. I'm kind of the person that has a million things going on at any given time. And I feel like I had plenty of permission to put certain things on the back burner, or before I would have to make excuses for why. And now it's like, oh, pandemic.
Yeah.
It feels kind of nice to like put some things off of the priority list and pull some things up that I've been wanting to do more and focus more on. So that's been actually kind of awesome. I agree with you.
Definitely. So mentally really good, financially not that great, emotionally really good. Overall, I'm really happy to have that break. And I mean, I haven't honestly been taking a break per se, but I bought a new van and I started to convert that van, and it's just nice to focus on one thing and not really have to stress about the fact that I should be out creating content or traveling or something like that, because at this point we're not supposed to be out doing anything like that. So it's just nice to not have that stress of like a big opportunity cost. of not traveling, you know.
And I totally want to dive into the van topic because that's so cool. And not only that, but I was thinking when I was looking, because I read one of your posts said something like that this is your fourth van. And I was wondering, is that like fourth van in your lifetime or like fourth van that you're working on? Maybe are you potentially thinking of building these and selling them?
Well, yeah, I have. And this is my fourth one that I've, I guess it's kind of a, it's kind of a gray answer. It's my fourth van, but it's really my second one that I've like fully kitted out and put a lot of work and effort into. My first van was I think a 1985 Toyota van. I got it for maybe $4,000 and I converted it for a few hundred dollars in like a few days, you know, not really thinking much of it. I just kind of put some curtains up and made a bed platform and bought a mattress. So there was no like electrical aspect or anything like that. It was very ghetto in a lot of ways.
I love that van. I saw the picture of it. It was awesome. So retro.
Yeah, it was cool looking, but it never really ran right. And I ended up taking a loss on that one when I sold it. And then for a little while, I was super anti-van life because that was kind of a weird intro. I took off so many times and it ended up breaking down. I had to get it towed like hundreds of miles back home.
Oh my.
One time. So not only did I sell it for like $1,000 after I put $4,000 into it, but I also put like $10,000 into like repairs and towing and all that stuff. So it was kind of a nightmare, project for van life. And then I just got, after that, I just got a normal car. I was kind of swearing off van life. I didn't think it was all it was cracked up to be just because of my bad experience. I think maybe a year later, I have a friend from an old job that I had. He happens to convert vans now, and he announced that he had like a certain van that kind of appealed to me. It was a short wheelbase Sprinter van, and I told him I was interested, and eventually ended up buying the one that he converted. So my second van, I didn't convert at all. I just ended up buying it because it was a good deal, and I had a buddy that I trusted in making the van. And I got that van just kind of with the idea of extended road trips, maybe help me stay out on the road a little bit longer so that I could get better shots. You know, it was kind of like an investment in my mind. And I didn't really expect to want to live in it full time or anything like that. But when I got it and I could stand in it and I could, like, it almost felt like a house on wheels, like a legit house. It was kind of an eye-opening experience for me. And I haven't had my own place for like 5 years since I started this photography thing. So it was like I finally had my own place and I could park it in my different family members' driveways. You know, I have family in Portland. I have family in San Diego. And then I have buddies in Utah. And so it was like all of a sudden it just kind of clicked, like, this is it. I have my own space finally, but I'm not committing to one location. And, you know, I can mooch off my family for a few weeks if I'm just using the shower every other day or something like that. I'm not putting them out, like, sleeping on their couch or taking up the guest bedroom. I have my own space. So, yeah.
I have a friend who's in a band. Actually, they've been on this podcast, Little Hurricane, and they started in San Diego, down south, but they bought a Sprinter van not too long ago for their tours and stuff. They also tour, you know, in Germany and stuff, but we were after a local concert one night, I was helping them load their stuff, and I was shocked at how much stuff you could cram in that van. Like, it's so much taller and bigger than it seems. Yeah, I was really surprised by that. We have a cab over, my husband and I, and my biggest complaint is I can't sit up in bed. Like, it drives me nuts that I can't, you know, like, I don't know if it's a claustrophobia thing or what. So when you were describing like, oh, I could stand up all the way, that's a big thing. Like, we can stand up in our cab over, but not in the bed part, which is, it's fine. It still gets us around. But I grew up in a 27-foot fifth wheel with no running water and no electricity. I can kind of relate, but we didn't go anywhere. So my parents were cool way before it was cool. But we lived in the rural Sierra Nevada, so it was always like an adventure. There was always something to do, you know, like an adventure to be had. But I definitely can relate to the feeling of like after that experience for many years, I would not know. I was like, no camping, nothing like remotely resembling camping. I'm done. But then now, you know, I go all over in a cab over and that's totally fine, you know? So I think it just takes some perspective, maybe like some life perspective.
Yeah.
To, shift your priorities or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you just have to make the choice for yourself in the end to appreciate it, you know?
And absolutely.
Yeah. So the Sprinter van was, man, it really did feel like a home. And for that reason, I was like, okay, this is super awesome. I kind of want to convert everything myself, because although it was awesome, that first van, I think probably 2/3 of the house part of the van was the bed. So it had a tiny little kitchen and this huge bed that was, in my mind, as time went on and I started to really appreciate van life, I just saw it as an inefficiency. Like, I didn't want that big of a bed. I didn't need it. Lots of times I was sleeping in it. Like, over half the time I'm sleeping in these vans completely solo. So I don't need like a 5.5 feet wide by 6.5 feet long bed. You know, it's just way too big. So, as I started to really get into van life, I started to kind of criticize the build and want to change it. And that was the reason why I sold that Sprinter. And I was super surprised, because I bought that first Sprinter for like $39,000, and I was able to sell it a year later with like 40,000 more miles on it for $45,000. Wow. So I was able to flip it for a profit. And that's when I started to see it as potentially even a side hustle, you know? So definitely, it's a little bit more justified to like do a new van every year, because it's what I want to do. It's kind of like a separate creating hobby, you know, like it helps me be a better photographer to have like a hobby that I can still activate my creative mind, but I'm not behind a camera. I'm building things with my hands, and they kind of play off of each other. When I get better at building vans, I'm a better photographer, and vice versa, you know?
And I'm sure you have, like you said, as you spend time in it, you're like, oh, this is awesome, but that would be better if.
Yeah.
So I noticed you just put the water over the wheel well.
Yeah.
So how many gallons do you have? I'm dying to know. We have 36 gallons in our travel trailer that we lived in when we were grown up. How many gallons do you have with the shower? Yeah. So we had to turn the shower on, turn it off, do that whole deal.
Yeah, I gotcha. So that's one thing that I'm still not full time in the van. Like I mooch off of whoever I'm staying with. I have a big enough network. I have a really big family, and I have friends from like when I lived in Hawaii and in different places. So I have a big enough network where I don't see it justified to put a shower in. And that makes it so I don't need as much water storage.
Now, you've seen those external pop-up ones though? Like they're tents that pop up outside.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. I don't know what it is, but I just...
You want a legit shower.
I guess I'm comfortable being dirty. Okay. Like, I'm not one who needs to shower every day or even every other day. It depends on how warm it is and what I'm doing. But generally speaking, I stop at truck stops like once a week. And truck stop showers...
We love Loves. The Loves are the best.
Yeah. Yeah, Loves
gas station. Have you ever been to a Loves? Oh, they're the best ones. They're so amazing.
Yeah, no, I hop Loves. Like, I don't just shower there, but I sleep there. I use them as campgrounds.
That's what we do too when we're on our road trips. Like, we'll do a couple thousand mile road trips and we literally look for the Loves. I'm obviously our big stops are national parks and different things like that. But in between, we love Loves. Oh my gosh, love Loves.
Yeah, it sounds weird, but I would probably rather sleep at a truck stop than
a rest area
in the middle of nowhere. Like, I'm more comfortable sleeping around other people like me, which I consider me kind of like a truck driver in a lot of ways. Like I relate to truck drivers because like a lot of my daily routines are just like, you know, driving down the highway. And then when I get too tired, I pull off in a truck stop and I pull right in between the trucks. And I know they're sleeping. I know I'm sleeping. It's almost like a little community aspect. I sleep really well under those circumstances. And when I go off and I sleep kind of out in the middle of nowhere, it's strangely not as comforting because like anyone could show up, you know, it's like forest roads. Generally speaking, nobody shows up because it's so far out there. But if somebody does,
they probably wouldn't be the kind of person you'd want to bump into.
I don't know. Like they probably would be, but it just feels like, I don't know, a little tiny bit more sketchy. Like I can sleep out in the middle of nowhere just fine, but for some reason, the more I sleep at truck stops, the more I like them, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because it just seems like people listening will probably be like, ew, gross, but I swear until you've like showered at a Love's and used a Love's or any of those, I mean, there's other nice ones too, but it's really like a cool experience. I'm with you.
So
in light of kind of the whole, and we'll get back to the van too, but in light of kind of everything that's happening with COVID, have you been able to do any travel? If not, and even if, how do you see nature responding to kind of the lack of people and tourism responding to the lack of people? What are you seeing out there?
Well, I'm not out there, so I can't really answer that question. I haven't traveled. So I don't know if you know what happened, but I was planning a huge trip. This is like 5 years in the making. I converted my last van, the one that I was talking to you about on the last podcast. I converted that one with the idea that I'm going to take it down to South America. Been wanting to take this van trip down to South America since I started my first trip that I took as a photographer. I was going to try to make it to South America, and I got to Panama and realized the road ended and I would need an extra like $1,000 to ship my van to Colombia, and I didn't have it. So ever since I like kind of had this failed trip in the beginning, I wanted to successfully make it down to South America. So it was like 5 years in the making, finally made it down there. A lot of stuff happened. It was a pretty rough trip. I got robbed multiple times. The van got looted on the shipment down, number of things. And, COVID was the cherry on top when all the countries started closing down their borders and things like that. All of a sudden it was like, basically the trip was over, and that all those announcements happened when we were at the salt flats in Bolivia. So from Bolivia, we jetted over to the coast in Chile, and I was able to ship my van, you know, quickly negotiate a shipment for my van. So I guess this is a really long-winded answer to your question, but I haven't, since COVID hit and the quarantine was issued, I haven't traveled at all. I've just been literally at my parents' house in California. And the beauty of it is that I have a ton of new content based off of the trip that I was on when the quarantine order hit. So I'm not stressed. I'm not like really hurting for content or new content even, because I had a big stockpile of the like the 2 months leading up to the whole coronavirus.
Wow.
So I can't really say. It's kind of tough because I feel like everyone is kind of basing all of their information off of different articles that are super biased and showing one side or the other side. So I've definitely seen a lot of really good, hopeful articles that, you know, the silver lining of the coronavirus shutting down all these big companies worldwide is that, you know, the ozone layer is doing really well, animals are coming back into cities and things like that. And that's awesome. But personally, I can't really say. I don't know how it's affecting it that much, just because I've been at my parents' house converting this van. So,
but I think what you're describing is something a lot of people are going through right now, which is that they had plans. They had fun things that they were going to do, and everything just got kind of put on hold. And it seems to me that the people that are doing the best are the ones who are kind of redefining what was going to be and taking a look at what they can create now. And I like that you describe, hey, I had this 2 months of content. Now I've got some time to continue to put it out there and work on this other project that I'm super excited about. So what does, as things are starting to open, what does redefining look like for you? Like, how has this shifted your perspective as being a travel photographer, blogger, you know, influencer? How is that shifting for you now?
Well, I can't say that it is shifting all that much for me. I'm really grateful that basically if COVID would have hit 1 or 2 years into my career, it would have probably wiped me out. Like, but because I'm 5 years into it, like my first and second year of doing this, I was broke. I wasn't getting enough money. I was really living like, I can't say paycheck to paycheck, because it wasn't a routine paycheck. Like, I was barely getting enough to get by. And I think because I went through those hard times in the beginning, when I finally started making money in like year 3, 4, 5, I kind of had this really skeptical outlook. And I didn't go out and buy all the best camera gear. I didn't go out and buy everything that I could. I was really, really tight with my money still and saved as much as possible. So basically the COVID, all this stuff is basically confirming my need to be tight with money and to be really, just smart with my purchases. And I don't know, just have a more long-term outlook on things, as opposed to, I think a lot of people kind of panicked when all this was happening. And I don't think that's obviously it's not good to panic, but I halfway expected to, you know, be out of a job. Literally every year I've had this job, because it's such a unsure profession. I've always thought that my jobs would dry up the next year. I've always kind of felt like I need to hope for the long run, but I also need to prepare as if like nobody's going to want to work with me and my social presence will be irrelevant the next year. I need to just keep that paranoid mentality to it all. And work, that just inspires me to work that much harder to maintain relevance and to basically offer a lot of value to the clients that I do have, so that I can keep them as clients or even attract new ones.
You know, as you're describing that, I'm thinking about like, what a different perspective that is compared to a lot of people that are in probably, you know, day jobs with these quote steady paychecks. But how awesome of a way of life, how awesome is it to look at life that way, as if nothing is certain? And if everybody had that kind of air of paranoia, like you described to a certain extent, how differently would people live and how better prepared would they have been when this happened? I think one thing that COVID has done is rocked the certain level that people felt to a very uncertain level, you know, and definitely created that kind of uncomfortability of like, wow, nothing that I used to put weight in is there anymore or right now, temporarily, whatever. And so how do I shift and survive and thrive and do things differently? So, I mean, I think that while, you know, a year and a half ago, a lot of people would have probably been like, oh, Quinn's completely crazy for living like that. I need my steady paycheck, blah, blah, blah. Now they're like, maybe he's onto something. That seems like a pretty good way to live life, you know?
Yeah. In a lot of ways, I feel like the majority, at least, you know, like 70% of at least American population makes a lot of their career choices based off of safety and structure. And in a lot of ways, the COVID thing has given all those people a taste of what it's like to be a freelancer. Because I've even when it's not a crazy pandemic happening, last year, for instance, I didn't have a job from January to June. So the like just this big gap of not having jobs doesn't feel that extreme. If anything, it's almost a little bit comforting, because I feel like when I don't have jobs and it looks like everyone else has jobs, it kind of makes me think there's something wrong with me. So at least everyone's in the same boat. you know, so like, I don't know, for me, it doesn't feel that much different in terms of my career and just the lack of income coming in. After 5 years of, you know, having massive breaks of income coming in, it's not rocking my world like it would be for, you know, a lot of people that have had a steady income for like 10 years straight. That's like a crazy shock to the system, you know?
So are you still grateful for the choice that you made to leave your day job? And is your plan to continue doing what you're doing?
I'm definitely grateful. It's been it's been an eye-opening experience. And probably the biggest thing is that I'm just going to be so happy to look back on this time that I really went for it and lived passionately. And I have so many photos to show for it. It's just going to be really fun to look back on. But in terms of, sorry, what was the second question on that?
What does the next 5 years look like? I mean, 5 years ago or so, you left your day job. Do you foresee doing this for the next 5 years?
I foresee doing this until I get a family, most likely. And family is super important to me. So I would think that I'll get a family within the next 5 years. And when that happens, like, I just put so much work and effort into what I do right now that I wouldn't want to be gone for that long just so much throughout the year. So I like the skill that I've developed of creating photography specifically, but you know, like, I get the same rush out of making bands as I do photography. And it's almost like really exciting and refreshing to not be taking photos right now. So that kind of indicates to me that I don't necessarily need to be in photography or social media, like this specific career that I'm in right now. I just have to get some kind of a creative buzz out of what I'm doing. And to be honest, like, I have a business mind. I graduated in accounting for a reason. Like, I like accounting. I like business, and I could see myself going into marketing or creative direction or something like that. Some business related variation of what I'm doing, where I can have a home base and have a family and stuff like that. That's kind of where I see it going.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes sense to me that at some point you're probably going to want some roots that are a little more school worthy and you know, all of those. So one of the things,
sorry,
no worries.
I'm in my buddy's car and
I was going to say the van's horn works.
Yeah, no, I'm in a Tesla. So
So good luck figuring that out then.
Okay. It's off. I don't know these Teslas. They're kind of high.
You might have put your fingerprint in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Wow, we could talk for hours about Elon Musk, but on that, yeah. how do you feel about in just general terms, how do you feel about technology, social media, and how it's participating in what's happening. And I say it as if it's a living being organism, because I think it is in a certain way. How do you think that it's helping or hurting? What do you see in that, being really in the social media world? What do you see with it? Black screen of death freaks me out. That's funny. We were talking about technology and then that happened. It's like, they're listening. Big Brother's listening.
No, I don't have the temperature thing happen very often in like California. It happened a lot in Hawaii for me.
Oh, I bet, with the humidity too.
Yeah. I'd like leave it on some rocks when I'm swimming or something. And
So on that note, I noticed that you have a surfboard slot. Do you do a lot of surfing?
Yes, I did a lot growing up. It was kind of like my first passion, and in the way that I have photography and converting vans now, I was just really into surfing growing up. And then I moved out to Hawaii and I got even more into it, like surfing every day. Kind of got out of it, I want to say, like for about past 8 years, and now I just really want to get back into it. So that's why I put the surfboard slot in there. I just wanted to get back into it, and kind of I just want to get a nice board that I'm excited to have and proud of, and so that will hopefully inspire me to get out and surf a little bit more, because
especially if you make it back down to South America. I have friends that moved from San Diego down to Chile, and they are always posting their surfing pictures and their beautiful, you know, waves that they have. I could never get into it. It was either too cold, living in San Diego myself, I just thought the water was too cold, or I was terrified of sharks. So yeah, it just never worked out for me. I love the water though. I love being in it, around it, but I don't know, something about like looking like a seal just doesn't work for my mental status.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I think it's something that if you grow up with it, it's comfortable. But anyone that doesn't grow up going in the ocean, it's big and dark and scary, and it has lots of animals and stuff. So
totally, I'm much better in a boat.
I'm a little bit more scared of like the mountains and stuff because I didn't grow up with that. But the ocean.
Oh, that's interesting. I was hiking on one of our trails the other day, which is like my backyard trail. It's like my on the way home, go hike it trail. And all of a sudden people are coming up from Sacramento and just all over to hike and do things like that. And I think part of it's Instagram, but I think part of it is also like recently COVID, they're finding more and more like, you know, hidden trails. And I swear they were completely decked out, like decked out. They had on, you know, their full hiking gear and their walking sticks. And I kind of had a chuckle, and they were like, have you seen any mountain lions on this trail? We read that there's and I'm like, they're everywhere and they're watching us right now for certain. Like, we catch them on the game cam all the time. Like, they're for sure here. And their faces, you would think that I told them that I just saw like the devil or something. But to me, I grew up with it. So I mean, I know they're there and I respect that. And yeah, there's always kind of like, if I get a creepy feeling, you know, like one day my son and I were picking blackberries and on a kind of rural trail. And I was not carrying anything, no pepper spray, nothing. And I just had like this weird feeling. And so I was like, I think we're done picking blackberries. And you got to pay attention to that stuff. You know, when you get those, yeah, like, somebody's looking for a snack feelings.
Yeah, but, for sure.
So one of the things I've been noticing is a lot of the influencers have been taking to social media to kind of either use this time really well, because they're not as busy as usual. I noticed Alex Honnold's been doing a lot with, and Jimmy Chin too, with just kind of general awareness of nature and different foundations and things like that. And then I also see some, social media influencers that are, you know, really promoting stay at home or not promoting stay at home, just different approaches, different kinds of things. Not saying there's like good, bad, right, or wrong. How are you dealing with the whole pressure as an influencer with a fairly large audience? I mean, what are you, like 1.2 million or something, maybe more?
Yeah.
How does that affect you? How do you feel kind of floating through all of this time? You know, what are you seeing in the way of response from people, things like that? How are you dealing with it?
I'm paranoid of losing relevance. Kind of like what I was talking about. I feel like if I lose online relevance, I kind of lose my job and I would have to generally go back to a desk job. So I'm super paranoid of basically losing connection with my audience. So the only ways that I'm dealing with it is I don't have the excuse that I can't post. I guess there's two ways that you can kind of go about making excuses to post or not post as an influencer. And I generally make the excuse that I'm not going to post when I don't have actual time. When I'm like out creating content, I kind of put priority into like creating new content. And so I make an excuse not to post because I have other stuff to do. Other people make excuses that they don't want to post that because they don't have new content. But right now I have time, but not current content. And so I basically made the conscious decision that I'm going to post every other day, 3 times a week, generally, which is much more than I normally post. I was kind of around like 1 or 2 times a week because I have the time, and I have all my hard drives. Like, you know, I keep them in my dad's safe at my parents' house, and lots of times I don't have access to my full catalog, that I'm just going to post more often. And I'm also going to put more effort into writing thoughts down in the captions, because that's what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just made it a point to try to be more consistent now that I don't have the excuse that I don't have the time. And to not so much write captions about COVID-19, but more so write captions about all the thoughts that I've been having over the past year. Like, I generally have like notes on my phone of like just ideas, like interesting ideas that are always on my mind that potentially could be universally interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be worth sharing to the mass audience. And so I have all these different subjects that I've really wanted to tackle that are kind of sensitive subjects lots of the time, that I've always wanted to tackle, that I have to kind of find a personal story that illustrates it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been focusing a lot more on kind of like what Alex Honnold, what you're saying. I know you're talking about, he had like a vegan type thing, and then like,
and
how he thinks it's the best, and just different insights. Those are the stuff, that's the stuff that he thinks about, and that's the stuff that's really, he's really passionate about. And lots of times what I'm more passionate about is mental health and Like right now, I'm really, really into van life and tiny living and like minimalism. And whatever, like, but what I'm into and what I'm constantly thinking about is way different this year than it was 5 years ago. So I just think it's just a reflection of where my mental state is. And if I have the time and desire to express it in the same way that I express when I go out and create photos, if I have the time to sit down and write, then I don't want to make any excuses to not do it. So I would say that even though I haven't been creating new content in the last 2 months, my account has been doing just as well, if not better, in terms of numbers. So I do think that captions for me are pretty big and valuable, and I think a lot of people appreciate it. So that's been my approach to content during these times. I generally don't try to get political. I don't try to like take a side with the COVID-19 thing. If you should be out traveling or shouldn't be out traveling, I'm not, and I've made that clear. But I don't want to alienate anybody. So that's an overall goal.
Yeah, I think that I can't imagine the pressure that, you know, you must feel from as a content creator and at that level. I know how I feel even doing what I do with a podcast and things like that. And my Instagram, I actually started over completely from scratch, which actually feels kind of, my old one got hacked and then it just was never the same. And I was constantly getting like action blocked. And actually a lot of my different websites, I like an idiot was using the same password for everything. That's not a good idea. So I had a lot of different websites that were all messed up, but, yeah. And so I actually feel kind of empowered to start over. And I, like you, find inspiration from experiences that are unfolding, you know, from things that are happening. And I tend to jot them down too, and then find the right time to say them. It usually takes me a day or two, which isn't very long, but to kind of think about how I want to present that, you know, in a way that's not off-putting to people, but also is authentic and true to what I feel, you know?
Yeah.
And that can be a challenge. I can't imagine doing it in front of 1.2 million people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For me, there's not really a consistent amount of time it takes me. Sometimes I literally just on the fly write something in 5 minutes and post it. Other times I'm working on captions for like, you know, months and rewriting. Yeah. And sending them, you know, to Jess to see if she thinks it's any good. So, you know, like it's sometimes I really work hard on a caption and it never actually happens. But I mean, it's therapeutic just to like try to figure out how to tackle like controversial or even just sensitive subjects and present them in a way that won't. The biggest thing is just getting my point across. Lots of times, like, I'll write a caption about, like, the caption that I wrote yesterday was basically about how my greatest strengths actually, when taken into an extreme, which I generally do take things to an extreme extent, they turn into weaknesses. Mm. So, but I used the word selfish and everyone kind of fixated on the word self. So like, there's like such like a fine line, fine balance. If you use one word wrong, people will fixate on that and it changes the complete tone of your whole, of what you, like my main message was kind of thrown off by using one wrong word.
Wow.
But
that's so true of people in general right now, in general too. Like, you know, I think that we don't give a lot of leeway to people. We tend to just kind of cling on to one thing that we've created in our mind as to be wrong or whatever. And then we just run with that. I've seen that everywhere, even with the mask, don't wear mask thing. It's like crazy how people get about it.
Yeah. Everyone's so opinionated on that.
So what's your advice to people who maybe right now are feeling kind of just lost, dazed, and confused in closing? Like what's your word of advice to people? You've been living kind of this, you know, not uncertain, but more free spirited, you know, life for a while. What would you suggest to people that are in new territory and new waters?
Oh man. I think people that are super stressed and worried about the future should probably stop getting on social media, probably stop, you know, listening to everyone that's super opinionated on both sides, and kind of just, I think it's really healthy for me to, like, I don't even watch the news anymore, just because at this point, you know, what they're announcing today, they're going to announce something different the next day. Like, at this point, I just don't really feel the need to, like, continue to see the updates, because I take them literally, and then all of a sudden they're completely different the next week. So I think the healthiest thing that I've done in this quarantine period is to find something to get lost in, like building my van, like just develop a new hobby to apply yourself and to pass the time. And it's not just wasting time. It's like, you know, like I think back to my days in high school when I was making skateboards in my dad's shop with saws and stuff. And that has amounted to making vans. Like, I'm pretty good with the jigsaw and all these things, because I just got bored as a teenager and started playing around with them, you know? So I do think that, like, getting lost in creative hobbies, or, you know, taking up an instrument or anything like that type of stuff is not wasted time in any way. Lots of times that stuff ends up, you know, being the best thing for you. And potentially, if you're anything like me, it will make you a lot of money in the end, because creative professions are, I feel like, on the rise nowadays. So if you're creative, you'll be a better business person, you'll be a better, pretty much, person, well-rounded person to work with in any profession. So if you're able to find something that interests you even just a little bit, and you recognize that and dive into it, I think that's the best use of this time, when you can't work, when the news is really stressful, you know, you go to different channels, they're saying completely different things, all that stuff. Like, that's a good way to get really, really stressed out about the future. And I would just work on yourself and develop some new hobbies and new talents, you know?
I love that. It's so well said. And it's exactly what I've been feeling and sharing myself, is that all of this stuff today is just building blocks for tomorrow. I love that. Yeah. Such a great chat today. Thank you so much for coming back on, Quinn, and always a good time and insightful. And I really appreciate you being on the podcast today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was fun. I like talking about this stuff.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.